Welcome back to the Centrist Kickers podcast. I am your basic podcast host. I hope everyone's doing well. So, I had some ideas about what I was going to do for this podcast, but of course, I saw something and it set me off. And I disagreed with someone who I generally respect, certainly have some disagreements with, but, and that would be Bill Maher. Saw his new rules in this latest episode he did, and I had to respond. This isn't a response video, a podcast sort of thing. I try to stay away from that stuff to some degree, although it's difficult to do that when there's so many opinions out there in the ether, and you come across one, and you just have to address it. And I was kind of taken aback at how callous and sort of clueless this take was from Bill Maher. So I will provide the link. I'm not going to play any of it, unfortunately. I will summarize it as best I can. But if you want to watch it, I strongly suggest that you do, just so you have a greater context. Maybe pause this right now and go check it out. And like I said, the link should be provided down below. Hopefully it's an actual link. If not, you can copy and paste. Things are a little bit wonky over here in the Spotify podcasting world. So he is addressing healthcare. He's addressing Luigi Mangione. Those are the two main topics. And so he goes into a few things, sort of joking that it was good that the healthcare executive Brian Thompson was shot and killed. Of course, he's joking about that. But he also says that he understands that people are fed up and the basic ways they're getting screwed over by our healthcare system. And he sort of acknowledges that that's a reality that we're all dealing with. But you can tell he's obviously building towards that, but this isn't the way to do it, which is a very basic take. You don't go around shooting people because there's an issue in the system until you have to shoot people, right? I mean, that's always, there is a line that must be crossed. Well, when do we actually resort to violence to solve a problem? I mean, let's not pretend revolutions and riots and things like that, when people are under a boot, that they eventually have to resort to some sort of violence, or at least rising up, not going to work, protesting, all those things. Like, when are those things acceptable? And it always seems like these people who have much more of a privilege, who are well off, who are out of touch with the plights of the common man, it's very convenient for them to always go, well, now it's not the time. This isn't the right thing to protest over. This isn't, you know, what are you doing? This isn't bad enough for you yet, where you, this is warranted, right? It just seems very convenient that someone who's as white collar as Bill Maher is going to condescend to us, the common person, who, when it's okay to be outraged about something. Now, granted, I don't think it has crossed the line of assassinating somebody, but also I can kind of understand why he did it though. So he goes through, to Bill Maher's credit, he does go through and he talks about, you know, unethical billing practices. He brings up pharmacy benefit managers and all this wild, calcified bureaucracy that's interwoven over the top of us. And it's not just big pharma. It's not just health insurance companies. It's also, like, he breaks down, goes into what hospital costs are and things like that, and how wild and incongruent and inconsistent all those things are. So we're getting it from all angles, which is something he's pointing out in his monologue. He's pointing out that you're getting it not just from insurance, you're getting from all these other places. And he also, of course, brings up your own personal choices. Like, if you choose to drink soda and eat Twinkies and eat fried food all the time, your health's probably not going to be that great, and you're going to end up being a victim of this system, right? Okay, so he brings up all of these things. And then he sort of has the gall to sit there and at the end blame Luigi Mangione for being some young punk kid who didn't truly understand the problem and therefore just thought it was okay to posture as a social justice warrior and kill this person because that's how you lash out. That's how you solve all your problems, is by at the point of a gun, a very American way of doing things. I get it. So what's the problem with that? I mean, in some sense, he's not wrong. This isn't necessarily the way to solve a problem or call attention to it. Maybe it's to organize. Maybe it's to form a protest. Maybe it's to form strikes to, I don't know, maybe destroy property. Maybe you're not trying to kill somebody. Maybe it's like, I'm going to blow up an office or something like that. We've all seen Fight Club. Now, you can say, wow, that's you're essentially okaying an act of terrorism. But once again, where is that line? When you consider that 40% of the bankruptcies in this country are due to healthcare costs, And you're going to then ignore facts like that? He has all these other facts, but he's not actually giving you any facts about how people are suffering through this. He sort of just, they're throwaway lines about, oh yeah, people get denied their claims. Well, what's the result of that? The result of someone getting denied their claims means a loved one's probably dying, or you're going into bankruptcy, or you have to sell your house. I mean, are you telling me that you don't think any of the homeless problem in LA where you live, Mr. Maher, any of those people on the street are there because they got thrown out of their house or had to go into bankruptcy? Now, I know there's a drug problem, a clear drug problem. Oh, which, by the way, has ties to our pharmaceutical industry, but never mind. And so you're going to ignore all this. There's a lot of problems, but there's literally tens of thousands of stories of heartache and despair based on these throwaway lines like, oh, yeah, it's expensive and you're getting screwed. And so here's my issue with this. Obviously, I have a lot of issues. I'm brimming here. But he essentially, like I said, castigates Luigi Mangione as this no good idiot who didn't really understand it, who wanted to be some Robin Hood type hero. And that he's saying you didn't fully understand the issue. Well, here you've enlightened us already with some of these problems that we're up against, right? Like I said, this calcified, interwoven bureaucracy that stands between us and a better healthcare system. And then you're going to tell us that, yeah, but don't shoot anybody over it. Well, what are we supposed to do? What is okay, I'm legitimately asking, if shooting someone's not okay and it makes you a young, dumb idiot, then what is protesting annoying? Is shutting down a highway annoying? Is doing something to, I mean, because clearly there's corruption involved here, right? So what, am I just supposed to email my congressman and hope that he is on the good side for once when clearly nobody is in the federal government? By the way, not even federal government, your state governments. The corruption goes all the way through. There's a lot of big money interests that don't care that people are getting screwed over by this, or at least not enough to. That's the thing, is we should make them care. How do we make these people respond? How do we make them care? How do we make them actually serve their constituencies? It's not by being snarky. It's not by ignoring it and just, oh, ho-hum, I guess this is the system we live under. No, things can change. That's the beauty of this country, no? That we have the ability to control the outcomes of where we're going and how the system works. It seems more and more we don't have that amount of control. We don't have that ability to reach out and pull that lever of power to make things happen for us, for Main Street. More and more things seem to happen on Wall Street. Those people are making out very well. And so it baffles me. It's like, did everyone at Occupy Wall Street understand entirely the economic system before they had to go protest? Is that okay? What about BLM? Do they need to understand all of the social justice issues or just justice in general and the incarceration problem and how incarceration for profit might be an issue, all these other things? We need to understand every single layer of every single wormhole to have the ability to be outraged about something. Once again, murder is a step too far. But when is that line acceptable to cross? You know, I might have been crazy comparing Luigi Mangione to who I consider an American folk hero, John Brown. John Brown killed a few people in the Pottawatomie Massacre is what they call it. He killed five people who were pro-slavery proponents at the time in Kansas. And, you know, people call him a murderer. But did he need to understand all the different levels of slavery, how the slave trade worked, how every single plantation was treating its slaves? Maybe it wasn't as bad here as it's horrible over there. Did he need to understand all of that before he took action against an institution that was not going anywhere? If the Civil War doesn't happen, slavery lasts at least another 100 years, at least, until something else happens, and it probably wasn't going to end without some sort of conflict. Now, I know, that's a big line. And I said it in the last podcast, to compare our healthcare issue, just healthcare, let's just focus just on healthcare, to compare that to slavery, yeah, a big jump. I get it. It's not the same thing. It's apples and oranges, maybe apples and vegetables. I don't know. But at the same time, there's some parallels here as far as they are massive institutions that are ensconced in our society, in our economy, and everything that we have to deal with, things that we must utilize in our daily basis as far as going to doctors, getting prescription drugs filled as we age. You know, can I even get a massage or some other sort of preventative therapy before I fucking fall apart? Anyways, so the point is like, they're not the same thing. I get it. But at the same time, it's something that's all so powerful, so ingrained into our culture and everything, and our government and economy, like I just said. How do we change such a massive system? How does that happen? Because emailing our congressman and, oh, gee, please, could you change the healthcare system a little bit so it's not so hard on us? That doesn't seem to be working. And so I find it very galling that Bill Maher, I think he's in his 60s. I don't know, he looks good, but good for you, Bill. You're doing all right. This guy, who I still have some respect for, but man, did he miss on this one, that he's going to tell the young people, shut up, you idiots. You just wish you were rich and all this shit. And you just wish, you know, you want these, you're happy to see the homes burn in LA. You're happy about all this crap because you're just bitter and you're idiots. That's essentially his takeaway. But here you are presiding over a system that's causing all these people pain. Where were you at? Where were you at changing the system so people weren't so angry? There's absolutely zero self-reflection here about a man who... Your generation has only made this issue worse for everybody else. If it's anyone just as responsible as Luigi Mangione, now this is some serious left brain stuff, I get it. But you've pushed us to the point. You and your generation and your level of voters and the people you put into office have pushed people to the point where we're okay watching homes burn. We're okay when an executive gets shot because nothing else is happening. The system only gets more powerful, and we have no recourse. What are we supposed to do? We got to learn about it first, I guess. I guess we need to go on an internet trail or go to a special university or just talk to Bill and he'll explain it all to us. And then we're supposed to what? Even when I understand it, even if I'm going off your understanding, which you provided in your new rules monologue, it sucks. Like, how am I supposed to change that? What am I supposed to do? I got to become a doctor. I got to become a lawyer. That's the only way you can change things. Oh, sorry, you just drive a truck. Shut the fuck up. What an elitist take. That's not okay, man. That's not how this is supposed to work. And frankly, someone with that much power and that much pull, the platform, quote unquote, that Bill Maher has, the idea that he's just going to shove it off on the kids, like, oh, you just don't get it. You're an idiot. Yeah, it's messed up, but yeah, you can't do that. Sorry. You don't get to make those decisions. I get it. It's frustrating. I get it. It's wrong. I get it. It's to a point where we're coming to a head on something, but you can't just keep burying your head in the sand, which it sounds like what he's doing. He just wants to point the finger and blame it. Yeah, you're an idiot, Luigi Mangione. And then that's it. Like, what were we supposed to get out of this monologue? Okay, we're not supposed to like Luigi Mangione now because Bill Maher said so. Because he did something that no one else should do or was going to do, or maybe something he shouldn't have done because it's controversial. But there's nothing controversial, apparently, about everything else he just said. Why isn't he turning it around on the hospital executives, on pharmacy benefit managers, on, you know, he bothers to point out, like, well, hospitals and pharmaceuticals make a lot more money. They got a larger profit margin than insurance executive or insurance companies. Which to me totally makes sense. None of those other places have to pay out, as far as I know, or at least don't have to pay out as much as a insurance should have to pay out. The fact that they make as much money as they do on such a slim margin tells you that they're fucking denying people healthcare, which is the main goal of an insurance company now. It's not to provide healthcare. The providers are already screwing you. The ones who are supposed to cover you getting screwed are also screwing you. And then on top of that, if you want a third level of being screwed, you can go right to your representatives and say, why are you doing something about this? Why aren't you doing something about this? What are you doing about this? Oh, nothing. So that was my big harumph with Bill Maher. And the idea that he's going to blame people for being angry with a whole eat the rich attitude. Yeah, some of that's correct. There's a lot of people who want to eat the rich, quote unquote, the AOC dress and all that stupid nonsense. The performative value of it is, you know, since a lot of these people don't have any credibility when it comes to that. But it's a popular sort of way of thinking, but there's a reason why it exists. Some of it is the bitterness. Some of it is something you can be snarky about and condescend to. But the other part is, when you see how much money these people have and how much they make, where is the noblesse oblige? Where is the responsibility of rich people to actually change things for everybody else? Instead, they only seem to be filling their own coffers. I don't begrudge them their power or even their wealth necessarily, but what are you going to do with it? What do they do with it? They manipulate laws and legislation so they can get even richer because it's a game for them. I looked up in 2000, Bill Gates was the richest American, according to this Google site. He was worth $60 billion in 2000. $60 billion. Today, Elon Musk is worth somewhere around $432 billion. So roughly seven times, approximately. I know that's not proper math, but approximately seven times richer in just 25 years. And that's not just like $20 compared to $140 or I can't math. Seven times 20, 140. Yeah. Seven. That's not $20 turning into 100. These are billions of dollars we're talking about. A metric fuck ton of money. Metrics fuck tons of money. I'll pluralize all of it. And the idea that, yes, my wages have gone up. I keep making more money, but you know what else goes up? Everything. I can't buy eggs now for less than $9 a fucking 12 pack. Okay. I can't buy a house. A decent house for under $400,000, $450,000. You know, I remember this story from the holidays when my dad was talking about home price. We're just because I'm hoping to buy a house someday. The American dream, further and further out of reach, to buy a home. And he told me a story about when they went to their mom, my grandmother, and they told her that, or her house was now worth, like, I think at the time it was like $125,000, which is this today, dirt cheap. That'd be dirt cheap. And she was blown away because her and her husband, my grandparents, built the two homes that they lived in, built them with their own hands and some help from neighbors, which is how community works, but built them for like something like $30,000, maybe 50 for both. I don't know, but remarkably less than the houses were quote unquote worth. And she laughed. She thought it was crazy. Like, how is it worth that much? Well, I'm no economist, obviously, so you can take this for a grain of salt or just not listen to it at all. But the financialization of our economy and of housing and of everything, every single aspect of our economy, they found a way to essentially squeeze two nickels out of a penny. Because a thing should be worth a penny. But if they make it rare or make it this way or just simply buy it up, the rich people can afford to buy it and raise the value of it and dump it. They play games in the stock market. Everything is a game to funnel money upward. None of it comes down to us. We get cheap TVs and cheap air fryers and cheap toaster ovens and, you know, crappy beds made of crappy materials or crappy couches. All these comforts of society are things that break down. Oh, you bought a new washer? Well, I bet it was a piece of shit. You probably only have it for 3 years. Why don't we have a washer that's cheap that will last me the rest of my life? Why are all these things, they break all the time and people just toss them in the dumpster? Like they go, oh, look, you've never lived in a richer, more amazing time. I agree. I 100% agree. But why is it that I have to buy a new TV every 6 years? I don't. In fact, I haven't bought a TV in 20 years. I make them last. I find ones that work, or have they been given to me by friends and family because they're buying TVs, but I refuse to. I literally have four TVs in this apartment. In an apartment, I have four TVs. I didn't purchase a single one of them. The last TV I purchased was a trade. Someone wanted to give me a TV, and that one was old, and I was like, yeah, I'll get rid of it, and I recycled it. Thank you very much. And yeah, and I was gifted two others, one from a brother, one from a friend at work. Yeah. Anyways, the point, I'm going off about my television, sorry. The point is we are so consumer heavy. And this was sort of the topic I wanted to get to. And I think it does tie into the Bill Maher monologue. It ties into everything that we're dealing with here, because if it's not acceptable to turn around and shoot an executive or shoot these literal criminals who are stealing your money, making people go broke, charging you extra, they have no ethics, they have nothing they're offering us except for a crappy system that they are hiding behind. If we can't do anything about it, if we're not going to organize, or you or me are not going to run for office to try to make something change, then what can we do but make ourselves better? And the number one thing we can, I know this is like, this is where I get super conservative, because it sound, you might think that I was like super left brain a second ago talking about, you know, being a radical, protesting, all this stuff. I know that sounds like what the left does these days, and there's a place for it. I mean, it's literally in our Constitution. So if you say that's anti-American, it's as American as motherfucking apple pie or cherry pie, if you happen to be that guy from the Black Panthers. What do you say, Apple? I don't remember. Whatever. I can't even remember his name off the top of my head, so look it up. So what can we do? What can you do? Because that's really important. Let's get as conservative as we possibly can, the individual. Because you're up against it, man. I mean, good luck getting a message out there. Good luck running for office. Good luck organizing, because someone's going to qualify it. Someone's going to go, oh, you want to organize? Well, what do you think about, you know, social justice reform or something? And you're going to have a different answer that they don't want to hear. And then suddenly they can't deal with you because you don't think exactly like them, which is stupid. That is, that's how we stay divided. And that's how nothing gets changed. If you want mass action, you're going to have to get over that. If you have that problem, maybe here's how you start with. I'm going to circle back. Here's what you can do. It's really about getting, it's really about, I mean, this is self-help book shit, so roll your eyes all you want, man, but we have to start reforming ourselves before we can reform anything else. We really do. You have to be more of a solid individual. You have to be healthier to avoid this shitty healthcare system. You have to be financially healthy, because hard times are coming. And even though your money might just disappear, you have to be somewhat reliable. I know it sounds like prepper information too. Like, you need guns and buckets of food. That's not really what I'm saying. However, you can go down that road if you want. It's not necessarily a bad idea. I mean, shit, you might use that stuff if there's an earthquake. That has nothing to do with politics or the economy. It just has to do with a natural disaster. So it's not a bad idea. There's precedent for having it and doing some things like that. But really just strengthening yourself mentally, emotionally, strengthen your relationships, strengthen your finances. How do you do those things? Well, there's a wealth of materials about every single subject I just mentioned. But you being able to stand in your own 2 feet, and yes, I'll take something from Bill Maher here, educating yourself about your politicians that represent you, specifically them, because they're the ones who are supposed to answer to you. You don't, Trump doesn't answer to you. He's the president of the, but everyone's focused on him for some stupid reason. You should be focusing on your governors, your state legislators, and your federal representatives, which would be your senators and your, whoever your representative is in the House of Representatives, the members of Congress. So you got a couple layers there, state and federal, but you need to educate yourself about what they're doing. Educate yourself about the laws in your state. And this is a lot of work. Democracy's hard. That's the shitty part. I wish we lived in a world where we could just relax and, oh yeah, our representatives have it. They're going to take care of us. Well, you don't. They're taking care of other people and they ain't you. Okay? That's, as George Carlin said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. Or it's a small club and you ain't in it. Whatever, paraphrasing his quote there. But it's damn true. It's always been true. All the way back to the medieval eras and royal families and hereditary monarchies and all that. I mean, that's the club that you were never in. None of us. That's why I always find it fascinating. People go, oh, I was related to so-and-so from right. No, who cares? You didn't get anything out of it. Anyway, sorry. That's for all the people who are obsessed with their genealogy and stuff like that. I guess I wanted to move in that direction as far as reforming yourself, because a reformation is coming. It has to. And as much as Bill Maher wants to put down Luigi Mangione, he's the sign of the storm clouds on the horizon. People will not stand for this much longer. Now, granted, people have said that in the past. People have been saying that for decades now. But at some point, things break. Revolutions happen, reformations happen, things get flipped upside down. You don't have to go that far back in history to see it, okay? Controversy revolutions happen, confrontation happens, violence happens, and I don't want it to come to that. But when are people going to listen? When are the people who actually have control going to do anything about our suffering? And so until that happens, you need to make yourself as strong as possible. That's really what I'm getting at. I think I might just keep this one short today. I'm running out of steam, but that's something. I'm sure I forgot something. I don't know. I just don't want to end up as old as Bill Maher and then not taking responsibility for myself. It sucks because, you know, I'm not that far behind him, unfortunately. And I feel like I'm late to the game and trying to make something change. I felt like I was making a change just by paying attention to national politics, by voting for Obama for the first time, by, you know, my hard stance on being anti-party and trying to go independent and being a centrist. Because centrist slash populist, however you want to look at it, I got my left, I got my right. I try to go right down the middle because I see the truth everywhere I look. But what's ultimately going to be true is this system is not going to last forever. It will fall apart. But man, there are people fighting and clawing to get every single penny and stomp on every single throat they can while they can be on top of the pyramid. And that's really what I'm seeing. Some people call it late stage capitalism. But our economic system is really on stilts right now. The stilts are getting whittled away. It's top heavy. We've gone through a little gilded age, especially post-COVID, where all this money has gone to the top. And everyone underneath is suffering. And we can't hold that pyramid up forever. It's going to tilt over. I don't want it to be violent, but I just know as much history as I've read about, that's usually how it works. Bread riots, although anything from a bread riot to slave revolts to, I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to get ugly. And like I said, Luigi Mangione, he's the vanguard of that. And Bill Maher wants to ridicule it. Like, oh, you're an idiot. You didn't know enough. Maybe you should take a step back, man. Maybe you should get in touch. That's my message to him. You're out of touch when it comes to this. And you're not necessarily wrong. Like I said, I don't want to reiterate everything I just said in this podcast. You're not necessarily wrong. Did Luigi Mangione know everything about healthcare? No, but why does he have to? His outrage is a lot of other people's outrage. And maybe, just maybe, you should take the temperature of those outraged people instead of just writing them off as young and dumb. Yeah, and the young are, they're the most frustrated. They're the ones walking into this system that ain't going anywhere. They're walking into all the corruption. They're walking in and having to deal with people like you, sorry, Mr. Maher, and even myself, yeah, I'll take some blame too, who haven't done enough to change this. So I don't blame them for being angry. Eat the rich. Yeah, that's a little juvenile. But at the same time, I don't care when I watch them fall. Everyone loved watching Tom Brady lose the Super Bowl. I don't want to see people's homes burn. I don't even want to see Brian Thompson, the CEO from United Health. I don't even want to see him get shot. But ultimately, it's like, well, I mean, you play with fire that much, fire is going to come back and burn you at some point. And that's what everybody's doing right now. Everybody in power is just playing with this fire. That's what it feels like anyways. I am going to try to keep this one a little bit short. I just had to say something. I was fired up about that Bill Maher monologue, but who knows? What's going to happen? It's been a wild ride right now with Trump. So I guess I should probably talk about that at some point, sometime soon. I went over all the election stuff. Didn't think he was going to get elected. Here he is. And he's hit the ground running. He's going hard. Almost got all of his appointments through so far as his cabinet. It's going to be interesting 4 years, at least the two and a half that he's got before the midterm election. So I'll try to turn around and focus on that a little bit next time we get together. Hopefully it won't be too long. But yeah, I'll just keep this one short this time instead of trying to stretch it out for an hour. I was getting too emotional and fired up there. But all right, everybody. Well, it was good to chat at you. Everybody go call your parents, call a friend, hug your loved ones. You're all beautiful, and God bless America. All right, that was cheesy. Bye.